Well, it's good to be saved, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen. I want to say out to all the bus workers, I appreciate everything that you do for the Lord, going
Amen.
Out and working on Saturday
Amen.
And knocking on doors and visiting people and inviting them to come.
Amen.
To me, that's one of the greatest works that's going on in the church. We don't see that in many churches anymore. And I'm excited about tomorrow night. And Brother Danny told me there's having the service to welcome in the new year. And down there in the old wicked Florida where there's nothing but evil and devils and boogers and everything else, I said, I need to get out of there for a while and come up here.
Amen.
And so I come up, but I didn't ask for all this cold weather. Y'all might have... I'm not used to this. I had the air conditioner on the day I left coming up here and come up with a little short sleeve shirt on and kept figuring out what in the world they've done to my truck, the air conditioner. It's just freezing me today. And then I realized the weather was changing. But praise the Lord. It's good to be saved. People's talking this morning, our Sunday school lesson, which was very good. Our teacher done a great job and talking about things that we can do next year.
Man.
If you can't think of nothing to do, get involved in the bus ministry. Work in the bus ministry. Get out and do something in the bus ministry. Go when they go out visiting on Saturday, just go with them. So I'm just going to go along and observe what's going on.
Amen.
And something else that I encourage people wherever I go, we need to increase our prayer life. We're headed for some hard times, and we're going to be praying. We're going to be praying more than we've ever prayed.
Amen.
But we need to pray. And then there's a lady in this church. Every time I look at her, I think she fasted for 39 days or 40 or something like that. And then I feel like a dog. I said, I fasted one time for 14 days, and I thought I'd done something. And then Brother Danny told me, so I got a lady in my church fasted for 39 days or 40 days or whatever it was. And then I thought, oh man, I didn't feel so spiritual then. But hey, I love Jesus. It's always an honor to be here. I tell people wherever I go, I told them, they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Shining Light Baptist Church. And I've had people tell me, you don't need to go there. You know, there's a cult. I said, it's a good cult, and I love and enjoy going there. I always get fed, I always get stirred up, I always get challenged, and I go back, and I'm a better person for it.
Amen.
I love y'all. I love this church. I pray for this church. I do. I pray for the church, and he's after y'all. The devil's after you, boy. He'd like nothing better to shut this thing down. But we've got to encourage each other and pray for each other, lift each other up each and every day. And Brother Danny, I love you and appreciate you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Sure is good to have friends scattered around. I got friends. They're just scattered around, around different parts of the world. Now, while we're getting our Bibles open, I'm telling you again, don't miss tomorrow night. If you're a member of this church, you're expected. And if you're not, you really ought to be here tomorrow night. There's not a person in here that don't need to see out the old year in church. Not a one of them. Nobody's that spiritual. So don't miss tomorrow night. The Nail family, they're one of them old-time groups that sings the power down. They really are. And so don't want to miss it. Tomorrow night, we're starting at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. And so then Wednesday night will be the first service of the brand new year. Let's don't forget that. And then Saturday going to visit, starting out a brand new year for the Lord. All right, we got a new baby here this morning. Can you believe it? Joey, which one of you got? Stand up and show that thing to us, our sister. Amen. Look at that. Second time to church. Let's give her a big hand this morning. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Oh, we got a baby shower for her? Is that what that is? We got a baby shower for her. How's that for being efficient? What we'll do is we'll open this baby shower up. We've got them some things in here. And after church, come up here and stick them a little money in there. Diapers, Lord, they've gone up, I'm sure. Everything else has. And let's be a blessing to them today. Amen. All right, here's what I want to do. Joshua. Open your Bible to the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. The book of Joshua, chapter number 3. Great man there, the man Joshua. And I'm going to show you something he said here this morning. Joshua. Amen. The book of Joshua. Amen. We're going to look here in Joshua chapter 3 this morning and look at verse number 1. Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 1. And I'm going to preach this morning about what you can do to begin your new year right. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Look at this part right here. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. He said, ye have not passed this way heretofore. That means you're going somewhere you've never been. You've never been where you're fixing to go. He said, you children, we've been out here in the wilderness. We went here and there and crossed rivers and valleys and stuff. But he said, now you've never been here before. You're getting ready to go somewhere you've never been. That's what I want to say to our church this morning. We're all getting ready to go in uncharted territory beginning tomorrow night at 12 o'clock. You have not passed this way heretofore. Now, somebody said this, we are standing on the threshold. We are in the open door. We're treading on a borderline we've never tread before. Another year is opening and another year is gone. We've passed the darkness of the night. We're in the early morn. We've left the fields behind us over which we've scattered seed. We pass into the future that none of us can read. Then hasten to fresh labor to thresh and reap and sow and bid the new year welcome and let the old year go. I'd like to give you just a few thoughts this morning about how to begin your new year. And the first thing I want to say is what I plan on doing, and I hope you will too. Here's some good advice. Let's take a new look at the old book. Wouldn't that be a good New Year's resolution? Let's take a new look at the old book. The old book right here that we were singing about a while ago will still get the job done in 2013. We don't need to rewrite the Bible. We need to reread the Bible. We don't need to reinterpret the Bible. We need to just believe the Bible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading. The Bible said in Isaiah 34 and verse 16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. I am a firm believer in a Christian reading their Bible regularly. Now look, I'm not crazy. I know that a color TV, big as that bench right there, is more exciting to look at than black letters on white pages. I'm not crazy. But I promise you, if you'll get in that book and read that thing and read that thing and read that until it comes alive in you and works in you, it will be worth it spending time in your Bible in 2013. Somebody said the Bible that's fallen apart usually belongs to a Christian who's not. Hear me? The Bible that's fallen apart usually belongs to a Christian who's not. And that's a fact. That's a fact, brother. You see a person who lays their Bible up and never touches it, their life goes off the wrong way. You see a person who reads their Bible regularly, the old saying is, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You will not read your Bible regularly and consistently and keep living in sin. It can't be done. You will quit reading it and lay it down, or you'll quit your sinning and keep reading your Bible. That book will blow sin out. That's what somebody said, the New Testament, TNT, the New Testament, stood for. It's dynamite. It will blow the sin out of your life. Somebody said this, Patrick Henry, matter of fact, he said, the Bible is a book that's worth all other books. I sat down beside a college-graduated psychiatrist on an airplane some time ago, and I began to talk to him and try to witness to him, and that man did not know who Lot was. Did not even know who Lot was. Here, I mean, a man graduated from college and don't know who Lot is. If you don't have a thorough knowledge of the Bible, you're not an educated man. You might think you are, you're not educated. An educated man knows God. Look, this is God's book, folks. This is God's book. How can we be educated and not know what God said? Read it, read it, read it, and read it, and read it some more. John Locke said it's truth without any mixture of error. They said it's a book worth all other books. Your Bible you've got laying in your lap this morning has 1,189 chapters. It has 31,175 verses. It has 810,697 words and 3,566,480 letters. If you read your Bible 10 chapters a day, you could read it through 3 times in a year. If you read your Bible 5 in the Old Testament and 5 in the New Testament, you could go through your Old Testament twice and your New Testament 7 times in 1 year. If you've been saved more than 5 years and still haven't read the whole Bible through, you should be ashamed of yourself. It's God's book! And God expects us to read it. Look, we're the beneficiary. I read my Bible every morning, and all the time I'm going to have to make decisions. I do, and I'll pick up little things. I'll pick up little things. Like this, we're all talking about the physical cliff. We're going to fall off it tomorrow night and Tuesday morning, and I'll talk about raising the tax. You know where that comes from in the Bible? It comes from Matthew chapter 2, and it comes from Daniel chapter 11. You know that the Antichrist is going to step up. And you know what the Bible said about him in Daniel chapter 11? Read it when you go home. It said, there shall stand up a raiser of taxes. Wow. Who said the Bible wasn't up to date? There shall stand up a raiser of taxes. Well, isn't that something? A raiser of taxes. They say certain income people are going to be paying $20,000 to $30,000 more if you're higher income. If you're lower income, you pay $2,000 to $3,000 more. And while all this is happening, income won't go up, just taxes go up. That means you got to cut into something over here or leave off something over there. And it's going to get worse. The squeeze on us is going to get worse and worse. Do you read your Bible? Have you read your Bible through? I read my Bible through. I finished the other day. I read my normal reading. I read my New Testament through 2 times every year and the Old Testament once. I'm at 78 of the New Testament and 30-something of my Old Testament or somewhere along in there. And I'll do the same thing next year. That's not counting my studying. That's just reading. You're not supposed to just study the Bible. You're supposed to read the Bible. Read it right on through. Start in Genesis. Read it right on through. You say, well, there's words I can't understand. Don't matter. Read it anyway. You ought to heard me try. I'd say, you know, anybody know what the longest word in the Bible is? It's Meher Shaler Hashbaz. Some fella over there in the Old Testament, that's what I don't know if that probably ain't the right way to say it. But it's got all them Meher Shaler Hashbaz. And buddy, that dude got a name, ain't he? He probably was some important guy. And you know what? That's the longest word in the Bible. I don't know exactly what it means. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read them stories. I'm going to read them prophets. I'm going to read them. You know what it's about? You know why? Because I'm a smart man. The Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You better read your Bible in 2013. It'll guide you. It'll lead you. You know what happens when you're at work? And you have to make a decision. A little voice will speak to you and bring that scripture back to your remembrance. Can't bring back to remembrance if you ain't never read it. You've got to read your Bible. Hey, let's make up our mind this year. Read your Bible. I read somewhere the other day that the average church member watches enough TV in the year to read their Bible through like 30 times in a year. And I mean, isn't that something? And we say we don't have time to read the Bible. We say we don't understand. He didn't say understand it. He said read it. He didn't say interpret it. He said read it. You just read that book. I wonder how many people here this morning would say, you know what, preacher, you're right. By the grace of God, I'll get up Tuesday morning and I'm going to start. You can read 5 chapters a day and read the Old Testament once and the New Testament nearly 3 times next year. That means you can read 4 chapters a day and read your whole Bible through next year. I know people that start every year and they do real good in Genesis and they whiz through there, you know, and they do pretty good for a while, and then they just they get in Leviticus and just hit the wall, brother. I mean, and then the devil starts talking to you, and you get in one of them books and it's got so and so's father, so and so and so and so, we got so and so and so and so, and the devil says that's all this is. There's 2 pages of names, and the devil tells you that's all it is. Yeah. You see what a big liar he is? I mean, there's 1,189 chapters, and all total, there might be 5 chapters of names. That's 11. You know why the Lord puts dull stuff in there? Because it's a book of life, and life is dull sometimes. It teaches you patience. It teaches you courage. And by the way, them names all mean something, and there's a story and a message in every one of them if we let it. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but my plan for 2013 is stick my nose back in the book, take a new look at the old book. Let's read our Bible. Amen. You can read you eat 1 hour a day. I do. Lord, I eat one time. I went to steakhouse and I was real hungry. I had the Golden Corral and I timed myself. I eat for almost an hour without stopping. One bite right after another. Even when I was going up there to get more food, I ate a chicken liver on my way back to sit down at my table. I eat for an hour, brother, as little as I am. And if you eat 3 times a day, you spend an hour eating. Don't tell me you couldn't spend 15 minutes with the greatest book that ever been on this earth. Let me ask you a question this morning. Not trying to embarrass you. I just want to know. How many of you read your whole Bible through this year? Would you raise your hand, please? All right. That's a decent little crowd, more than most churches. But now, what rest y'all do this year? Well, there's one honest soul right there. She says,
"I read mine."
Oh, not you.
No, not
Slim Jim?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, we got time. You got time to read that Bible. You say, but I got to see the view to see who they're going to talk about. Now, you better get and get on Facebook, put your face in that book right there, and brother, get in there and find out what God is going to try to tell you something. Read your Bible through in 2013. Look, if it's going to kill you and you're a terrible reader, the New Testament only has 260 chapters and it's 365 days. You can't tell me that you can't read 260 chapters in 365 days. Now, come on, people. Come on. Who are we trying to kid? We this blessed old book, whatever, that I hold in my hand. I don't even like it enough to read it. It's solid foundation is what the preacher said. There ain't no wonder we can't get anywhere with God. It's no wonder he said we can't get our prayers answered. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Let's take a new look at the old book. You'll quit sinning or you'll quit reading. One or the other. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It protects us. Amen. I mean, brother, it's back to the Bible or back to the jungle. You know what's wrong with our country? You know what's wrong with our nation this morning? We left out the Bible. You know what's wrong with our schools? We've left out the Bible. You know what's wrong with Congress? We no longer honor the Bible. You know what's wrong with our nation this morning? We no longer honor God's Word. It sure did work a lot better when people honor God's Word. Say amen right there. This blessed old book, amen. I'm telling you, every society that leaves out God's word is destined to become animalistic, heathen society. You mark it down. Amen? You say, nope, education's the answer. Listen, one of the meanest people that's ever lived in this world. Every one of Hitler's henchmen that carried out the Nazi concentration camps were brilliant. Brilliant men. They wasn't heathen. Some of them had an IQ of 160. And they were the greatest killers the world's ever seen. That's why the old saying is, education without salvation is damnation. It's back to the Bible or back to the jungle for this country. Say amen right there. Take a new look at the old book. Said one time this guy, this missionary was over there and done some work over in the jungle, one of them jungles, and this real smart guy went over there, you know, some preppy little guy, and he thought he knew everything, and he's an atheist, and he went over there, and there's an old converted heads hunter sitting there, and he said, he's sitting there, and he's stirring that pot like that, and smoke coming up in it, and lo and behold, there laid a Bible. And the real smart guy from America said, oh, it's already got over here, it's ruined you people. Tell me one good thing that Bible has ever done for anybody. And the head hunter looked up at him, he said, if it were not for that Bible, your head would be in that pot. That's true, isn't it? That's true. He said, if it wasn't for that Bible, your head would be boiling. Listen, brother, we'd be boiling this morning if it wasn't for this Bible. God has blessed America because our fathers honored this book right here. Go to Washington, D.C. It's everywhere. You ever been to Washington, D.C.? Have you ever been to the Smithsonian Institute? Man, I walked down them streets there and it made me want to shout. Every building you look up, these letters that big, carved in concrete. And what? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I bet the liberals hate that. I bet they look up and it just drives them crazy. They're fussing about the nativity scene in Marion. On a courthouse lawn. I mean, why don't they practice what they preach? They don't have to look at it. That's what they tell us. You fuss about dirty stuff on TV, and they say, well, you don't have to watch it. And they say, that offends us and bothers our kids. There's a court. Tell them the same thing. You don't have to look at it. That's the biggest bunch of hypocrites ever been. You know that? Yeah. They're talking about taxing the churches. Ralph Sexton and them's having a big meeting. A bunch of pastors getting around. There's a big move on taxing churches, and that's coming. If the Lord don't come, it's coming down the pike. It'll put a lot of little churches about out of business and start paying taxes. And you say, well, Brother Danny, what would you say to them? Give them their own medicine. They say, well, you should start paying your money. Separate from church and state.
Yep.
Ain't that what they always say? Every time you open your mouth, we ain't supposed to vote, mention politics. Separate from church and state. Okay, we want your tax money. Separate from church and state. Amen. Preach it, brother. That's right, brother. I'm known for being fair. And I'm very, that's fair, isn't it? That's right. They practice what you preach. If it separates the church and state, don't get our tax money. We ain't giving it to you. Hallelujah. That's good. Preaching even if I am doing it. That's what Charles Worley said. I'm just kidding. But I'm telling you this morning, we need to take a new look at the old book. You know why the devil don't want you to read the Bible? Because the Bible produces rugged individualism. Now, what does that mean? That means people who read the Bible are individuals. We all believe the same thing, but we're our own person. People who don't believe that turn out like clones. They turn out like, you know, they're like on an assembly line. They all believe the same thing, talk the same thing. The Bible produces rugged individualism. It makes you your own person with convictions and beliefs, and you can raise your family according to what God said, and get your family around the bed at night and pray with them and ask God to bless your kids as they go to school. And the devil hates that. He wants to take our kids and brainwash them and tell them there's no God and tell them to believe everything against the Bible. I'm telling you, we need to take a new look at the old book. Number two, we need to take a new walk down the old road. The Bible said in Jeremiah 6:16, seek ye the old path, wherein the good way is. We wouldn't hurt us today to start out the new year taking a new walk down the old road. Somebody said, well, preacher, that old-fashioned style of preaching and shouting and stuff, it's outdated. That's a thing of the past. Well, that's true in a lot of places, and that's very sad. That's very sad. Listen, people get emotional when they go to ball games. People get emotional when they go, Lord, I've seen them grandmas. Oh, my Lord. I'm telling you what. They look like they're in a coma until little Johnny gets that football. And Lord, he's in the pee-wee-wee-wee-wee league. He ain't about that tall. And he'll get that football and take out. He don't even know which way to run. That way, Johnny. Oh, okay. Hey, don't even know the rules. And grandma's setting up like, Johnny! Go, baby! Go, baby! Go! And boys, that same woman will come to church on Sunday morning, sat there with a Cyrus. Yeah. She looked like she eat persimmons. Yeah. For breakfast, chased it down with lemon juice. Yeah. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that pitcher, people. Yeah. There's something wrong with that pitcher. I'm not against shouting. Listen, I'm going to try to get to see old Dax Race. He mopped up on him in Asheville this week. Amen. I mean, you better believe I'd cheer for him. I'd say, get him, brother. Run over him, Dax. Triple. Oh, no, I would say that. I'd tell you that. I want him to win. I want him to. I'm going to tell you something this morning. That's just a motorcycle race. I'm sitting here this morning. My name's in God's book. There's a burning hell down there and I ain't going to go. My name's up in heaven. I'm going to walk on gold streets. And you think you ought to sit here and look like my mother-in-law moved in? No, sir, brother. We need to take a walk down the old road of worshiping God. Sure we ought to. We've let this world shut us up. I ain't talking about a bunch of foolishness. I'm talking about real joy. I see somebody won American Idol. I mean, they go crazy. And that's all right. Son, if I won $1 million, I'd shout too. If you don't believe it, try me. I'd shout on 1,000. And give you credit for the rest of it. And ain't nothing wrong with that. You think somebody knocked on my door and said, Mr. Castle, we just come to tell you that you just won $10,000 in a sweepstakes. You'd think I'd say, thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Why ain't nobody going to act like that? Are you crazy? You say, what would you do? I go, woo! Yes! Just like I do in church. That's normal. That's normal behavior of people that are happy and rejoicing. That's normal. This is abnormal. Give you $10,000. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. That's abnormal. Amen. Take a new walk down the old road. Why do you even go to church? Somebody said some go to take a walk. Others go to laugh and talk. Some go to meet a friend. Some go their time to spend. Some go to meet a lover. But some a fault to cover. Some go for speculation. Others go for observation. Some go to doze and nod. But some go to worship God. Like that old guy who went to sleep every Sunday. Every Sunday. Old Papaw. He went to sleep. He'd snore. Make noises. And dirt and talk like that. And finally, preacher got this little boy. He said, now listen. He said, you sit beside Papaw and I'm going to give you a dime every Sunday if you'll keep him awake. So the little boy sat right there and every time Papaw would start to go to sleep, he'd kick him and let you know, pull hairs on his leg, pinch him or something. He done pretty good after 3 or 4 Sundays. Finally, Papaw started sleeping again. And that preacher said, now look, now I ain't going to give you a dime no more. If you 10 cents if you keep letting him sleep. And he said, Papa, give me 15 cents to let him sleep. That's the way people are in church. Don't bother me, preacher. Please don't upset me. Please don't come in here and tell me bad stuff. Just tell me everything's all right. Tell me everything's wonderful. And I went, now look, if you're looking back from heaven, everything is all right. We're going to heaven, everything's going to be all right. But if you're looking down here in this world, I tell you, but we got major problems. If that makes me a negative person, so be it, brother. I call that being truthful and real. We got problems. Amen? And we need to take a new walk down the old road. We need to take a new walk down the old road. I mean, telling you, get in there, brother. Family's praying together. How long? Listen, it would be a good idea for some of you to start family altar again this coming Tuesday. You know, you start praying with the kids, you do real good there for a while, then this happens, ball game, this have to work late, have to go here, one of them's already asleep, the other one's all, you know how it goes. I know, I raised three kids. I went through that for years and years and years. And you have to jerk up on it and say, all right, everybody get down. We're going to pray before we go to sleep tonight. Just praying every night before you go to bed may make the difference on whether your kid goes to heaven or hell when they grow up. I'm telling you, we need to take a new walk down the old road. It's just like this watch night service we're having tomorrow night. Some of you sitting right here today, you say, you know what your problem is? You need it more than everybody else, and you don't even realize it. I'm telling you, trouble's coming down the road. Trouble's coming down the road with your family, with your kids, with your mama, with your dad, with your grandchildren. Trouble's coming down the road. We need to, everyone be in here tomorrow night, laying on this altar saying, God, help us in 2013. We don't know what we might be facing. I'll take a new walk down the old road. Take a new willingness with the old wallet. How that? You know, when you get right with God, it don't bother you a bit to give what you're supposed to. I know when I'm getting backslid because when I pull out my tie and I'm thinking, that's a lot. Should I really be giving that much? Because I always give more than my 10%. Always. And the devil will say, I know when I'm getting backslid because I don't want to. That's the first thing you start getting stingy with, your money. If you're not paying your tithes here, you're already backslid. You ain't right with the Lord. You ain't right with the Lord. Who are you trying to kid? I remember Corey when she was little. She's the one that's got the kid doctor right now. I set her on the bar in my house at the kitchen, on the kitchen table there. When she's about, she might have been 18 months, 2 years old. And I set her there and I was doing something in the kitchen. I said, behave there, honey. And I had some money laying there. And I come back over there and she took a $20 bill and a $10 bill, $30, and just was tearing it all to pieces. Just ripped. And I went, no, no, honey! I about had a heart attack. I mean, $30. 20 years ago, I'd be like 300 now. She was just tearing it up, just grinning. I said, no, honey, no. No! And you know what? I tried to glue it back together and put Scotch tape and everything. It tore up so bad you couldn't do nothing with it. And you know what? The Lord said, you know what? When you're really, really right with the Lord, money don't mean nothing to you. It's okay to have it. I hope everybody in here gets rich. But when you're really right with God, it don't really mean nothing. What's really important is your health and your family. You got an appetite, you can eat. I don't care how much money you got. If you can't eat and enjoy your food, it's just a waste. Amen? We need to take a new willingness with the old wallet. A new sight as some old saints.
Yeah.
I'm out of town, but wouldn't it be a good time at the first of the year just to let everything go you got against anybody? Hard feelings. Good time to start all over. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm glad there is. Okay, you got grudges, hard. I've been pastoring a church since I was a kid. And I'm telling you, people in churches get hard feelings at each other, and they'll hold a grudge for 10, 15 years. Still mad about something happened 10 years ago. People, you can't do that. Let go. He said, well, you don't know how the idiot done it. I know. I heard about this man the other day. This blonde, so the story went, wanted some work, and this man was pretty well off. Well-to-do businessman, had a lot of money. And she said, I'll go do anything if you'll just let me. He said, I tell you what, you want some money, you know where my big house, he had a big house, big fancy house. He said, go down there and paint that porch down there at my house. He said, there's buckets of white paint sitting out there, the brushes, the rollers. He said, paint my porch, and I'll pay you this evening. Well, he sent her off. He figured it'd take her a couple of days. Big porch went all the way around the house. And she come back in about an hour, and she said, I'm done. Can I have my money? He said, now, lady, there's no way you can paint that big old porch. It goes all the way around the house. She said, I'm done, really. I'm done. It was no problem. It was red. I painted it white. He said, there's no way you could have painted that porch. It goes all the way around the house. She said, no, it wasn't. It's just in the front yard. And it's not a porch. It's a Ferrari. That's that's the way I feel about church members sometimes. Like that. But you know what? You say, that's the way I feel about my son, preacher. I could kill him. Sometimes I could strangle that little brat. Here would be a good time to let it go. Let it go. Paint a Ferrari with a paintbrush. There's some things you just can't change, people. Try as you may. Fuss at him all you want to. He ain't going to change. It ain't going to happen. Just say, all right, Lord. By the way, I'm gonna preach tomorrow night. I'm going to preach the main message tomorrow night. I never do that, but I feel like the Lord laid on my heart. I'll be talking to married couples, son, and everything. You know what marriage is? Marriage is a continual being just forgiven. Right. Forgiven. Forgiven. Just like the Lord does you. Yep. That's simple, isn't it? You know where you get in trouble? You start holding grudges. Yep. Grudges. Against people. There's some things you can't help. There's some things you can't change. Man, this man one time, he come in. This little Indian boy came in to his daddy. He said, Daddy, I'm sick of it. I'm mad. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, these stupid names you name us Indian kids. He said, why do we have to be called such a dumb name? He said, son. He said, let me explain to you. He said, in our Indian tradition, when your mama will go into the teepee and have one of you kids, then whatever when we first come out to the teepee, whatever we see, that's what we name you. That's our tradition. He said, that's why your sister is named Flowing Brook. And your brother is Running Bear. He said, well, I still don't like it. He said, you're going to have to understand, puking dog. You know what? It's just something, man, you just got to put up with. Just live with it. Live with it. The world ain't going to be perfect in 2013. Just learn how to live with it. Put your problems in the hands of the Lord. Do right. Try to get somebody saved. He'd give you some of the best advice you could ever have. Brother Wayne did. Let's get some souls saved this year. Take them to heaven with us. That's how we ought to begin our new year. Let's stand. Let's stand. Our heads bowed.